It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Welcome back to another Wednesday here on the Tony Sands Show. And I am Tony Sands. Man, we have a show for you today. We're going to talk about my main man, Brian Urlacher, putting it down after 13 seasons. He has decided to retire. Instead of going and try to find another team that he would fit, he decided at this point it's time for him to hang up his cleats and find other ventures in his life. Also, my main man, Chief C. Wood, signs back with the Black. That's right. You heard me say it. Signs back with the Black. He signs back with the Oakland Raiders, with the team that he first started out with. He goes back to the Oakland Raiders. When you look at these two guys, they're opposite. One guy's deciding it's time for him to put it down. Another guy decided, hey, he's not ready to hang up the boots. He's ready to continue his career. We're going to also talk about one of the hottest topics that's going on today in the sports world. It's Tiger versus Sergio. You heard me say it. That's right, Tiger versus Sergio. And some of the comments that Sergio made at a dinner, we're going to talk about that later in the show. It's going to be a great show. Does the 49ers' chance at a Super Bowl gets hindered with the injury to Michael Crabtree? That's right, I said it. With the injury to Michael Crabtree, NFL draft goes up against the Easter holiday. I'm going to get into that a little bit to let you know what that means. Roger Goodell in the NFL draft goes up against the Easter holiday. Find out here on the Tony Sands Show who wins. On the Tony Sands Show, find out who wins that battle, Easter or the NFL. My main man, Mr. Bibbs, is going to come here on the Tony Sands Show, and he's going to chime in on these topics as we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to see is he right or if I'm right. That's it. We're going to talk about some great topics, but I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you something. Today has been a crazy day in the sports world, as I told you. Fried chicken has been the hot topic of the sports world. Fried chicken. I love myself some Popeyes. I had fried chicken today, and it came from Popeyes. Had me a fried chicken, some black beans and rice, and I had me a biscuit. I can't have my chicken without my biscuit. That's right. I need some of, as Martin would say, mama, some of mama biscuits. But we're going to go to a commercial, and we're going to get back into it. Brian Urlacher retires after 12 seasons. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this who made it. It's already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm a lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Shots smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a hoozy. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Straight to the top, that's for show. Two clocks, two texts, and a fofo. Equipped for the snakes and the phonies. Even keep a close eye on the homies. These words come from my soul. My story had to be told. Let you see what I see.
Tiger Woods, keep a close eye on Sergio. Keep a close eye on Sergio, because Sergio is talking about you and what is going on. But without further ado, let's bring my man Bibbs in. I know he's waiting on the line. He's been waiting for a commercial break. Let's bring my man on, Mr. Bibbs, my expert when it comes to the sports world. B, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, not too much, Tony. About to go pick up me a bucket of fried chicken myself tonight.
I'm telling you, fried chicken is the topic of the sports world today. Fried chicken is the topic of the sports world. Man.
Definitely.
I need to own a chicken farm today, because those are the only people that are making money today, because they're making good money because of Sergio and Tiger's comment. But before we get to that, folks, I'm going to charm you with that. I'm going to let you know what Sergio said about my main man, Tiger Woods, about Tiger. And this is a beef that's been going on. Before we get to that, though, let's get back to Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher decides, you know, he's test the market in the free agency market, and probably at this point in his career understands that he slowed down a little bit. His talents has diminished a lot, and he decides to retire. And they got to understand now, you know, feel welcome to chime in and cut me off and tell me what, because this is a show that, well, we're going to give the people a good show. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brian Urlacher, he had a great career with Chicago,
Yeah.
What do you think led to his retirement more than anything?
I honestly feel like he just felt like he wasn't wanted anymore. You know, I think he's a little bit salty by the fact that the Chicago Bears, you know, didn't want to re-sign him to, I guess, the deal that he was looking for. And, you know, I mean, other teams did show a little interest in him, but they weren't willing to pay him the money that he felt like he should receive for, you know, the work that he's put in throughout the years in the NFL. You know, but like you said, Brian Urlacher, well, he's probably one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game, you know, with the size, his size, 6'4". 250 pounds, can run, he could run. In his earlier days, he could run, like, he could just 4.45 speed, you know, that's not heard of for a middle linebacker besides Patrick Willis. You know, he's a freak of nature. And, you know, Brian Urlacher was a freak of nature at one, but, you know, he's aged now. His skills have diminished somewhat, and, you know, last year he kind of played on one leg with all the injuries, you know, and, you know, he's had, a decent season, but not up to standard or not up to par as what he would feel like he should have played or the rest of the NFL. So, you know, I think that's really much why he didn't get signed to the deal that he probably felt he should have got, you know, with maybe one or two more years left to play. And I guess that he just felt like it's time to just hang it up. I hate to see him go, but, you know, as always, it comes at some point to everybody in their career. It's time to, you know, hang up the cleats maybe gonna get you a desk job for CBS, ESPN, you know, Fox, and that's just what you're gonna have to do, you know.
But now tell me this. Now, we got to understand, okay, here's a guy that played 13 seasons. His talents has diminished. Talent has diminished a great deal. Do this guy expects to get the kind of money when his career was in his latter career that he got in his earlier career? At what point do you must understand and say, okay, my talents has diminished. I played 13 seasons. I'm only looking to play two more seasons at best. For Brian Urlacher, do he say, okay, at this point, I take less of money because I know, guess what, I am a long stretch to make a team. I'm going to make a team possibly naturally on my ability to teach young guys, not on my ability to play on the field like I was when I was a young guy. Should Brian Urlacher be expected to get that kind of money, though?
Maybe he thinks very highly of himself, and I commend him for that. You should, but he must look at the mark, and he must look at, you know, what he's done in the past. You know, last year wasn't one of the best seasons for him. Mainly because he wasn't healthy, and then of course he's older now. Like I said, his skills have diminished quite a bit now. But if he was looking for a deal like he was like from the past, like his earlier days in the NFL, then nah, he's crazy. He thought he was going to get something like that, but I really do think he still could have played, you know, a significant part on an NFL team. Like you said, teaching some of the younger guys the game and, you know, what they have to do to, you know, maintain or have a career like he had. And I guess nobody was willing to pay him to teach, you know. They would more so want to pay him for production. If that's going to pay him the money that he was asking for, then it would be more for production, not to teach. And his production... It's down now. You
better believe it. His production is way down. So I'm trying to figure out if it's. And you look at the season he had, and then now you can also say, though, the season he had last year. But then you could say, how much did it play in effect with the firing of Lovie Smith and the hiring of Mr. Tressman, Mark Tressman? How much did that play into it?
Definitely. I feel like if Lovie was able to, you know, maintain his job in Chicago, then he probably would still have a spot on the team. They probably would have been able to come to a, you know, contract agreement that would allow him to play one to two more years for Chicago Bears. But with Lovie being fired and they bringing in Mr. Trussell, he said that's a whole new regime, you know, and they're going to go with the players that they feel like they can play with that's going to help them win and possibly make it to the playoffs and eventually get to a Super Bowl. And right now I don't really feel like that Trussell and his coaching staff and the management right now feel like that that Brian Urlacher could, you know, do that for them.
They had to
go in another direction.
And that's what I feel. I think if Lovie Smith was still there, Brian Urlacher stays a Bear because Lovie Smith has a great deal of respect for Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher has a great deal of respect for Lovie Smith. But now, Brian Urlacher out, Charles Woodson decides he's not ready to put it down yet. He's not ready to put it down at all. He wants to continue to play football. He's made that known. He is not ready to put it down. So guess what? Charles Woodson decided. Now, here go a guy a year ago was making some serious money. Not too far removed from being defensive player of the year in the league. Defensive player of the in the league. Now, you going and all of a sudden – he decides, Charles, no, his time is winding down. He decides he'll take less money with the Oakland Raiders and go and continue to play. Now, less money for Charles Woodson, you know, his money's down, but it's not probably down as much as Brian Urlacher because he is able to still go inside, play nickel for you, and be a darn good nickel guy for you, probably better than a lot of the young nickel guys in a dime package. So, I mean, he's still able to perform, and his deal is worth a maximum of $4.3 million, including $700,000 signing bonus. And then Charles is a guy that he can play around and play in the league because Charles have had in his past seasons a great deal of money thrown at him, but then Charles is also a businessman off the field. Charles has dibbled and dabbed in oil and things of that nature. But now, does this let you know that Charles Woodson will decide to go back and retire as a Raider?
Well, you know, I really think that the Raiders, because he played, what, the first 7 years of his career with Oakland, that played a, you know, heavy, you know, burden on his decision that he made. You go back and play for a team that or organization that he already played for. I mean, granted, yeah. Al Davis is no longer there, and that was the general manager owner that drafted him there. But I see like the Raiders are a growing team. They're not a great team as of now. I mean, they don't even have a starting quarterback. We haven't seen their quarterback play down. He's played, but they don't even know who's going to be the starting quarterback. They just traded for Matt Flynn, you know. But he plays on the defensive side of the ball. And they have some pretty good defensive players. You have Branch, the other safety. He's an outstanding safety. But he plays more in the box, you know. And I really feel like Charles could step in the free safety role, like kind of what he played, similar to what he played in Green Bay last season. And like you said, play the nickel. I think he'd be a good nickel corner for them. Come in, you know, cover that middle of the field, and, you know, make a couple of plays. Charles Woodson's a gamer. Like, he's one of those guys that he's going to come out there, he's going to give you 100% every down. Granted, he stays healthy. He's a good pickup for them. He can teach those guys in the secondary a lot. They just, you know, drafted DJ Hayden. They just picked up my man from Dallas this past offseason, Michael Jenkins. And so that he definitely can help them. Well, you know, trying to transition over to from a bad team to a good team.
And they got to pick it back up.
Go ahead.
Charles Woodson was – you got to pick it back in 1998. People got to – forget this, that Charles Woodson in 1998 was the fourth-round overall pick to the Oakland Raiders. And like you said, it was under Al Davis that brought Charles Woodson in. And then they let Michael Huff go, you know, voided his free agency deal. So, you know, here we are now. Charles Woodson said, hey, I'm going back to Oakland because I think Charles understands that he probably have two good years left and he will return to the place where he started his career. Many will say, why wouldn't he retire as a Green Bay Packers to the team that he won a Super Bowl with?
I mean, they didn't want to give him the money. They didn't want to give him money, and they released him. So why go? I mean, I won a Super Bowl with them. That's okay. I won a Super Bowl with them. That's great. But I'm going to go play where I want it. You know, I'm going to go play where I can get on the field, and I can go make some plays, and I can help young secondary become a secondary that they have the talent to be, you know? And that's why I think he made a decision. I mean, he also could have went to Denver, you know, and I mean, I guess – the Raiders outbid Denver by what they said, from what I read, $600,000. So he decided, you know, to just take his. I mean, you know, Denver's a contender. They, you know, I actually thought they would have made the Super Bowl last year, but you know, a couple of plays, one big play, prohibited them from doing so. You know, but he chose Oakland, and I always thought Oakland in the back of my head probably would have been a good fit for him anyway. So you know, that's what he decided to do. And you know, I think he'll have a all-world season like he's had in previous years, but he'll have a good enough season to, you know, turn some heads, help a young team out, and you know, possibly help them grow and become a team that they need to be. You know, the old Raiders. I doubt they ever get back to the old Raiders, but, you know, they have a long way to go, and he can help them get there at the end of the day.
Now, you think, with the age of Charles Woodson, B, that this makes – the Raiders a contender?
No, not at all. I mean,
the Raiders is horrible, folks. The Raiders are horrible. I'm going to tell you what the Raiders would need to be a contender team. They would need to uproot out of Oakland, shake all the dust off of the black hole. Now, because I've been in the black hole, and the black hole is what you call it, the black hole. I mean, those people are some of the rudest fans ever to be put in a stadium. But they enjoy their Oakland Raiders. They enjoy their Oakland Raiders.
Where do you think they should go then? If they're going to uproot from Oakland, where would you think they should go?
Oh, man. Who would want the Oakland Raiders? That's the question. What city would want to bring in the Oakland Raiders?
Los Angeles is trying to get a team right now. You know, they're working out, you know, stadium deals, trying to get a team. You think they can go? I mean, they've been in Los Angeles before, right?
Right.
They can go back to Los Angeles.
I don't see that. I don't see that happening. I don't think How would that flavor for Oakland Raiders fan? We are Oakland. Oakland is different. Oakland are black, and you know that's that silver and black, and they have a distinguished color. They would have to keep that color in Los Angeles, but I don't see them keeping that color. I don't see them how they could keep that color in Los Angeles. That color stays with Oakland in the utmost. It stays with Oakland. But let me tell you something.
Yeah, that's a supplement.
That's enough, but we're going to stay in the Bay Area because after this commercial break, we're going to get a little bit into Michael Crabtree and how this affects the San Francisco 49ers. Stay with us here on the Tony Sands Show as we talk Crabtree and his injury.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Still be a baby.
Here on the Tony Sands Show, me and my main man Bibbs, as I talked about before the commercial break, I talked about Michael Crabtree and the San Francisco 49ers and how his injury will play out for the San Francisco 49ers. Michael Crabtree tears his Achilles. How do you think that's going to play out for the San Francisco 49ers?
Oh man, Tony, that's a big one right there, man. The 49ers have a great team, you know, but that's a big injury. That's almost like I wouldn't compare, you know, Michael Crabtree to Jerry Rice, but in that time, that would be like, you know, the 49ers of his era losing Jerry Rice, their number one receiver, you know, like. And I'm not saying that Michael Crabtree is anywhere close to Jerry Rice, but I'm saying the significance of the injury and the role he possesses on that team, the offense, because they're running offense and they don't really have a great passing game as it is. And for them to lose their number one receiver, oh man, that's gonna hurt them. You know, I really feel like that's gonna be a big blow to the development of Colin Kaepernick. Right now, you know, that's going to be a big hurt on him because he doesn't have that big go-to guy that, you know, will go out across the middle of the field and catch his passes besides, you know, Vernon Davis. And, at the end of the day, that's going to hurt them. That's going to hurt them big time. Now, I feel like they have a great coach and they can overcome that injury. But at the end of the day, that's going to take them down a notch as far as the offense is concerned.
Now, you say it's going to take him down a notch. Now, and people must understand, when you talk about Achilles injury, normally when you hear that, it's normally a season-ending injury for most athletes.
Right.
They decided, he heard it on Tuesday, they decided today to have the operation immediately. They decided it was in the best interest for Michael Crabtree and the San Francisco 49ers to have this surgery immediately for the simple fact they want to try to see could they get Michael Crabtree back before season ends. They want to try to see if they can get it back. You got to understand now, They made their run for the Super Bowl with me. I think they made their run in November once Colin Kaepernick took over as quarterback. So they figuring if they can make another run, get Michael Crabtree back. This injury sometimes lasts you anywhere from 4 to 6 months with the healing process and all that. I'm quite sure he's going to be in the chain in the bubbles and getting them right. But you got to understand now, there's other guys that came back in the season when they had this type of injury during the early part of the season. You got to figure Terrell Suggs just came back from this injury.
He did. But I don't really think Terrell Suggs was the same player that he was before the injury. Well, he might be back to you know, what he was at one point this coming up season. But, you know, every player's body is different also. And he plays wide receiver position. And, you know, in the stance that the wide receiver gets in to explode off the line of scrimmage, that puts a lot of stress on that Achilles for them to, you know, get that burst off the line of scrimmage. And then I feel like if he comes back too early, you know, he might not be the same player. And, you know, corners will be able to, you know, sit on him, basically, squat on him. You know, he won't be able to, you know, make the plays that he normally makes. And not to mention, this is a contract year for Michael Crabtree. I don't know if it'll be the smartest decision for him to come back right away, you know, and not be the same, show that he's not the same, then he won't get the money that, you know, he possibly could get if he comes back 100%. So it's kind of a lose for Michael Crabtree at the end of the day, because he can come back and not be good, but he can also wait it out and still not get the money that he thinks he deserves. You know?
I don't think
that's
he's
like
going to
lose for Michael.
It's a lose-lose situation when you look at this whole thing, when you talk about now, because the question is, are you the same Michael Crabtree before the injury? So do I pay you for the Michael Crabtree before the injury, or do I guess and say, okay, you're going to come back and play at a high level after the injury, so I'm going to give you that money. Now, is a team like the San Francisco 49ers ready to bite the bullet with Michael Crabtree like that? It's going to be a lot of give and take. I think he's going to lose more money. I don't think he's going to be in that high echelons of those top receivers like the Johnsons and the Calvin Jacks. I don't think he's going to be in that level because of this injury.
Right.
I don't think he is.
I agree with you 100%. I really don't think he's going to be in, as far as the pay scale, I don't think he's going to be there. Not after this year. You know, like you said, it's basically a lose-lose for Crabtree right now. I hate it for him, though, you know, because he was becoming one of the best receivers in the NFC. And to see him go down like this, you know, we don't know. Now we have to wait and see, you know, whether or not he'll be come back. Almost like Derrick Rose. We have to wait and see if he'll come back and be, you know, the same player that he was before the injury.
Correct. Now, you got to figure, Kendall Hunter had this same injury last season. But his people decided that they will wait later to have his surgery. And I think that hurt Kendall Hunter. I think that's why they looked at the situation and said, no, it's best to go ahead and have it the next day. Get it in there. Get him out of there. That way we can have an opportunity to have Crabtree back, because he is so important to the Oakland Raiders' success. Now, they do have another list. You know, they do have some young receivers in you know, Mario Manningham and Kyle Williams. And then you got to figure they do have the veteran still in the waitings, Anquan Boldin.
Right. But Anquan Boldin can't separate from anybody right now. Now, don't get me wrong. Great player.
Now, come on great. Now.
Great. He's a great player. But he's a very strong hand, and he's a very strong receiver in general. But he's not the player that Michael Crabtree is.
Oh, not by far. Not at this stage in his game, and in the stage that Michael Crabtree is. No, not by far. But I think he is going to be the player, the receiver at that spot, that's going to have to pick up the slack for this team. But now,
I think he can pick up the slack. Not 100%. I give him maybe 85% of the slack. You know, because like I've seen Anquan Boldin do some shooting. This playoff run he just had this past season was crazy for Anquan Boldin. You know, touchdowns and in the playoffs was just coming to him like he was playing for the Arizona Cardinals back in the day. And you know, I think he can do this. I think he can. You know, he'll make up a little bit, but
Now you said Michael Crabtree, 85%. Now, who picks up the other 15% to make this receiving core what it is to cover for Michael Crabtree while he's out on his injury? Mario Manningham, what you going to say? Okay, we do this. Mario Manningham, we're going to give you 5%. Kyle Williams, we give you 5%. Do they, with the receiver that they selected in the fourth round, Quentin Patton, I can't give him that 5%. I'm not.
But they selected a receiver in the first round last year. I can't remember the kid's name right now, but it might come down to him. Kid out of Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. He went to Illinois. He's Illinois to Syracuse. And he didn't really get much playing time last year, you know. So hopefully he's developed,
That's Kyle Willingham that's on the depth chart with
them. Is that
Kyle Williams. Yeah, that's him on the depth chart. But now, tell me this, though. Do they decide to go back and call Randy Moss?
Maybe 3 or 4 games, 5 games into the season, they see that, you know, that they need somebody to stretch. I don't know. I don't think so. Because they're two different type of players. You know, like, Randy Moss is a two-route runner. He's a two-route receiver. You know what I'm saying? And he runs flies, and he'll come across the field occasionally. But he's not going across the field like Michael Crabtree's fearless. He's one of those receivers. He'll go across the middle. He runs good stop routes. You know, he runs good routes, and he's a big, strong receiver. So, and I can't see that Randy Moss at this stage in his career doing those things that Michael Crabtree did.
But I don't think they're going to use him. Do they change up their offense and something? They got to tweak their offense now. They got to tweak it a little bit. So now, do you bring in a Randy Moss because that still gives you the deep threat to take the top off of a defense and you use Anquan Boldin on the underneath intermediate routes?
Well, think about this, Tony. How many times do we see Randy take off the top of the defense last year?
I mean,
not much.
But now, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I still got to respect Randy Moss's speed. I still got to respect that. I can't overlook his speed because I'm still going to put a cover two. I'm not going to let a single DB take Randy Moss. I'm still going to look to have a safety over the top of him because at any point in time, he can stretch that field. And with that height ability, Randy Moss can still go up over the top of our average corners in the league. Especially if you're playing a guy that's less than 6 foot.
Definitely. No, I definitely agree with you when it comes to that. But I like I said, I'm not ruling it out totally. But I don't think you bring him in right now. If you want to bring Randy Moss in, you bring him in later after you get a chance to analyze your young receivers and see what they have in the tank. You know, see if they're able to produce like they need to. And if they're unable to, then yeah, you go right ahead and you call Randy up. Hey, we need you, big boy. Need you to come on these fly routes, you know, and take the top off. You know, make the defense respect you. Basically, that's what it is when it comes to Randy. Disrespect thing.
You're gonna respect. You got to figure when a receiver has the nickname, what kids use all over America, I'm a Randy Marshall, that respect still perpetuates to these young DBs now. Because these young DBs were the same DBs that were saying, well, I'm not going to get Randy Moss. These young guys that's playing now in the game was those same young men in the parks that saying, well, I ain't going to let this receiver Moss me. So now you don't think they fear that word being Moss by the real Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Yeah. That's what I say. It's a respect thing. They're going to respect him. You have to, you know, because any given day, you know, he can wake up. And no, that's always been Randy's big thing on him. He can play when he wants to play, and some days he just, I don't feel like playing today. But if he does want to play, he's a problem. But like I said, not right now. You know, Mario Manningham didn't play much last year. Wasn't he injured? I don't even remember him playing in the playoffs.
He didn't play that much. So now
we get an opportunity to see what they traded, what they picked him up for. You know what I'm saying? He gets an opportunity to come in, and he gets more balls now that you know, Crabtree's out. And
now he's going to get his opportunities. But Ken, tell me this. You wait that late to bring – You wait this late to bring Randy Moss in, and all of a sudden now you're fighting for a playoff spot because you're so far out of your division that you're fighting for a playoff spot.
I mean, well, it's a fight every week, so I expect them to be fighting for a playoff spot anyway in that division. That division up right now is with them in Seattle. You know, well, Seattle has problems too with all these, you know, people getting suspended from, you know, for these PEDs. But at the same time, I still thought they have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL, and that's going to be a battle between those two in that NFC West, Seattle and the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, you know, okay. They're going to be fighting. And St. Louis has gotten much better, and with the draft that the Cardinals just had, if they can get somebody to protect Carson Palmer, they won't be a pushover. They won't be as bad as they were last year. You know, so that's going to be a fight. In general, I don't expect anybody in that division to roll over to the 49ers because they have such a great defense and a stud at quarterback in Kaepernick. So it's going to be a fight for them. I expect it to be a fight for them each and every week anyway. And but I get what you're saying. You know, toward the end of the season or mid-season, they might, you know, lose some games that they possibly shouldn't have lost. And now they're fighting for playoff seeding and, you know, or whether they might not even get in the playoffs, you know?
Now, I'm going to tell you this. You said fight, and it's so important that you said the word fight because now guess what? The NFL is in a fight against the Easter holiday. The NFL yeah. is in a fight against the Easter holiday. Roger Goodell and the Super NFL will buy down to the Easter holiday. What I mean by that is that, you know, the draft is being changed from April to May of next year because Radio Music City Hall is hosting an Easter show in April.
Right.
Wow. Easter brings down the big dogs. Do you think Roger Goodell felt if he would have said, we're going to stay with this Radio Music City Hall, if you guys don't decide to take us, the NFL, over the Easter holiday, we're leaving. Do you think he thought, if I do that, we're going to take a hit media-wise on this here?
Yeah, I do think that they would have taken a big hit. You know, Easter holidays is a nationally celebrated holiday. And different people celebrate it for different reasons. Me personally, I'm a Christian, so I celebrate Easter, you know, in my religion as, you know, it's a day of Christ. So, you know, I feel like, and it's a bunch of Christians, or so-called Christians, if you want to say that, you know, that look to Easter as a day that they, you know, as a day that they're not going to, you know, want to watch NFL draft on. Or they're not going to, you know, so.
I don't think it'll be the interest of a lot of people.
Personally, for 1 year, I can see it being okay. And that's the fight now, whether or not that they're going to change it permanently to May. You know, Easter's only going to fall on that weekend, you know, this particular year, this 2014 Correct. Year. So, I Correct. Mean, I don't really see a big difference in it. You know, you can you know, change it, push it a week back or 2 weeks back for this year. Now, if you want to do it permanently for the NFL, it's going to be a dog fight, you know,
but now
the coaches.
There's a lot of things got to change now when they change that to May. A lot of things changes in the NFL when they change that to May because it's really not a decision that's solely up to Roger Goodell. The NFLPA has to approve this. Not only do they have to approve it, it affects the NFL calendar. Also, it affects the dates of the NFL combine, the opening of free agency. All that's affected by this move.
It could be okay. For 1 year. 1 year, you can change for 1 year, Tony. Now, come on. 1 year, you can do it. Now when that, and he talking about doing this for the rest of the time, he's commissioner or however long.
Right.
Yeah, now you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a big problem, you know. It's going to cut down on vacation time. It's going to cut down on rookie training camp. You know, it's going to cut down on a lot of things with the changing of all the dates. And that's what people are looking at, like, how are you going to do this to us, you know?
But now, B, tell me this. But does it pique the interest of NFL fans to say, okay, hey, Roger Goodell, it might be time for you to look at the NFL draft moving each year like the Super Bowl does to different venues, to bring it to South Florida, to bring it to New Orleans, to bring it to San Francisco, to bring it to Dallas. Does this
pique? That's a great question, because you know what? I hadn't even thought about it that way. And I honestly think that would be a great marketing scheme, a marketing, you know, thing for the NFL if they were to move the NFL draft to different cities like they do for the Super Bowl. That would give people the opportunity that can't afford to fly to New York to go to Radio City Music Hall and watch the draft, watch their favorite team pick a player. That would give them the opportunity to possibly see an NFL draft in their own city. You know, and I really think that could do wonders for the NFL. I hadn't even heard that. I hadn't heard anybody, you know, come up with that. And that's the first time I'm hearing it. And I honestly think that it would be a great move. That would be a great move for the NFL. And I possibly could give Roger Goodell a lot of, you know, cookies. Kudos. You know, a lot of people don't like Roger Goodell. They think he's like a power freak, you know.
I think this would help him in his fanfare that people see, okay, we're seeing this in our city. But I'm going to tell you one city that won't get it. I can tell you one city that won't get it. You want me to tell you that city? And that's Miami. Miami won't get it, folks. They won't get it. For the simple fact, they didn't get the Super Bowl neither, because they didn't put a top on their stadium. They didn't put a top on the stadium. So they won't get the NFL Combine, because Roger Goodell says their stadiums are not up to par. But South Beach is, so we're going to pick the stadium over South Beach. I think South Florida is one of the hottest tourist places that I think bring dollars in, and you won't get it because they don't put a top on their stadium. Wow.
Is that really why they didn't win the Super Bowl?
That's why the Bay Area got it, and that's why Houston got it, because they won't put a top on it. That's why, because they won't put a top on it.
I mean, but there's been a Super Bowl in Miami before, right?
Yeah, that was a while back when the stadium was fairly new. That stadium was fairly new. So
how long ago was that, Tony? Because I really don't know. How long ago was that?
That's been a minute that Miami got a Super Bowl. That's been a minute. I'm going to tell you, that's been a real long time. At that time, I remember taking a picture with my main man, the pimp of America. And it's green. What they call it? What's the name? The pimp that wear all the green in the big top.
Oh, Magic Don Juan.
Yeah, I took a picture with Magic Don Juan on South Beach. So that's been a minute. I ain't seen Magic Don Juan since then. So I know it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's probably been a minute. Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't really know much about, you know, I didn't know that. But I don't know. I've never been to Miami. I've never been to the Orange. What is it called? The Orange Bowl? Is that what it is?
No. You saying the Orange Bowl? Oh no, the Orange Bowl been torn down. They demolished the Orange Bowl.
Sun Life.
It's Sun Life Stadium. It was Joe Robbie Stadium. Okay. Now it's Sun Life Stadium. You got to figure the Orange Bowl is the same site now that the Marlins are sitting on. And I'm gonna tell you something. Now that you say that, that is the reason why I think the state of Florida did not allow that bill to be passed, because they got bamboozled by the Marlins. Bamboozled, what I mean by that, they got bamboozled. The Marlins lied and said that they didn't have no money. Come to find out down the line, they had a whole lot of money in the bank, and they used taxpayers' money to fund this stadium that they can't even fill up.
They cannot fill it up neither. That
they can't fill it up. Taxpayers felt, hey, Bremen, one of the biggest typhoons here in Florida, fought against that bill for them to build that stadium, as he called it. When taxpayers have to pay for stadiums, he called it rich man's welfare. That's his exact words of what he said. That's a rich man's welfare. You got the money, you pay for it. If you got the money, you pay for it.
It looks like Miami's going to miss out at the end of the day.
They gonna miss out. They did miss out. Roger Goodell made that known. Until they get a roof on their stadium, a half a roof. It's not even a whole roof, you know, like that spaceship y'all sit in. It's not like that. It ain't even like the old Dallas Stadium where it was a hole cut out in the middle. It was just enough to cover the fans. Just enough to cover the fans. That's all they knew. It was going to be a big old huge hole in the middle, but they could not get that done. So it was a fight. And now that we talk about fights, let's talk a little bit about this Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods fight. Stay here on the Tony Sands Show as I come back, and we're going to talk deep about Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods battle in the golf world. They fighting in golf? Wow. They like dislike each other in golf? Wow. Stay here and tune here on the Tony Sands Show as we talk about Sergio Garcia versus the main man, my main man, Tiger Woods himself.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it? Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball.
Back here on the Tony Sands Show, as I told you before we left for commercial break, we're going to talk about fights. We're talking about the NFL and this fight with Easter, but let's talk about a fight that's been in the news all day this week. Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia. These are golfers. Am I right, Bibbs? Golfers? Fighting?
Big time golfers.
Fighting. I'm trying to figure out, where they do that at? Golfers fight. Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you about what the fight is about. The fight is about fried chicken, folks. They fighting fried chicken. No, that's not really what it's about, folks. I'm just teasing with you. But it started hot topic because now when you talk about fried chicken in the African-American race, that's a no-no, Mr. Sergio. That is a no-no because that leads to what, Bibbs? Racial tension, and you had to apologize. This man said he talked about the fried chicken and Tiger Woods. Wow. He's going to take it. Now, you know, there's been people that's been fired, released because of racial slurs and racial tension. Where do you think this rank now among sports and racism? Here we are, Sergio states about Tiger Woods and the fried chicken joke.
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, I don't really think Sergio Garcia is a racist at all. Now, he did make a derogatory statement about fried chicken, which is, like you said, is a no-no amongst the black community because we love us some fried chicken, and you're trying to make it seem like only black people eat fried chicken. You know, and I don't even consider Tiger Woods as an African American because he never states that. He never says that he's an African American, even though us, you know, we
want to adopt. Now you know we're gonna adopt any. Now you know we're gonna adopt some of anybody that looks similar to us, yeah. But they don't take on our role as African Americans, like you stated. Tiger Woods have never stated to this day that he's black. You know what? I'm gonna be honest. I when you look at. Because, like you say, his dad, but his dad is black now. His dad is black.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But we tend to take on, and a lot of people must not understand that. You know, we got to stay confused. If I'm from my mother, on the mother's side, we call each other brothers. But if my dad has a child, we call it half-brothers, when it's supposed to be the other way around. Because you come from the father is the seed that delivers to the mom. So that's technically your whole brother, not your half-brother, as we state sometime and we get that thing twisted up. But Tiger Woods' dad is black, and you tend to take on the race of your father.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
You tend to take on the race as your father. So now, here we are. They're calling, saying that, you know, about the chicken thing with Tiger Woods. Is it stereotyping, or is it just a comment that that Garcia made in joking, and it may come back to hurt him?
Yeah, I think that's really what it was. Him trying to be sarcastic, trying to be funny about after whoever asked him the question, would he, you know, sit down, have a hangout with Tiger. You know, he was like, yeah, we'll hang out and I'll serve him fried chicken. You know, I think he was trying to be funny, but at the end of the day, he's not a comedian.
So, correct.
And
that means he don't get that pass, though. If he's not a comedian, do he get that pass?
Yeah, you're not going to get that pass, you know, and you golf.
Exactly.
So you're definitely not going to get that pass. You born. You golf. You go out and you 18 rounds. You 18 holes. So that you just don't get that pass right now. And he's not even white. Well, he's from Spain or something?
He's from Spain. I think this thing has came back to bite him. he had to apologize.
He's going to take a lot of backlash. I got up this morning, and the first thing when I turned on ESPN this morning, that's the first thing they were talking about Sergio Garcia and his comment that he made towards Tiger. And I really think that Tiger's really sucking it up. On Twitter, he said that he was hurt by the comment.
Bro, oh, yeah, Tiger. Oh, yeah. Tiger's using this to his advantage. Now, I don't blame him. But now, let's listen to. I got an audio about this. Let's listen to a little bit of this audio with Tiger Woods and this chicken thing. Let's listen to it. We're going to listen to a short snippet of it, and then we're going to get back deep as me and Mr. B talk about Tiger Woods and Sergio fight. Let's listen to this audio. It's audio number 6, baby. It was hot topic. Continue to be the hot topic here in the sports world. I'm telling you, it's going to be, I mean, not 6, it's number 7. I'm sorry, it was number 7. I was going through all this stuff and trying to get this thing lined up with the producer. It's number 7, and we're going to listen to Tiger Woods.
Why don't you like Tiger Woods? Well, who do you not get along with? And I'll ask you the same question. I mean, obviously, you can't like everybody. I think that there's people that you connect with and there's people that you don't. And, you know, it's pretty much as simple as that. So I think that, you know, he doesn't need me in his life. I don't need him in mine. And, you know, let's move on and let's keep doing what we're doing.
When did you first realize that?
A while back.
Any particular incident?
No, I don't think. I think it's just, it's never really been a true connection like I would have with maybe with Luke or Lee or Adam Scott or some of the other guys that I got.
Now, Bibbs, you heard what he said. I don't need him in my life. He don't need me in his life. And he laughed at the beginning of it. Huh?
Yeah, obviously they've never been buddies.
But I'm trying to figure out, that's got to be something that led to this. Two men just become, and go ahead.
I just think it's just like LeBron James or, you know, Kobe Bryant. People going to take their shot at the best. You're going to take your shots. You're not going to really like the best because you're not the best. You want to be the best.
Correct.
So you're going to take your shots where they come. You know, and he just was taking the shot at Tiger. You know, I don't need him in my life. It's just like two competitors. You know, two competitors, they don't really like each other. They don't really have a reason to like each other. They go against each other every tournament. So, you know, I'm not buddy-buddy. It's not a Kevin Durant and a LeBron James type thing that way go work out and have a good time on the side. That's not like that. And that's crazy to me, too. But, you know, it's just what it is. Two males with two big egos that, you know, they just happen to not really care for one another. They, you know, they go against each other in every tournament. And so I want to beat him just like he want to beat me.
But now I'm going to tell you this. Sergio, before you go to talking about Tiger Woods, he got to know how to close out a tournament. Before he go to right. talking about Tiger Woods, he got to know how to close, because he's not a closer. You don't know how to close a tournament out. So where that come from, I don't know. But let's listen to a quick snippet on number 8. Now, this is some other deep stuff on this trash talking to continue, and that's audio 8. We're going to listen to about 30 seconds of it.
Yesterday, and ended up trading words about what caused Sergio to hit a bad shot. Sergio claimed Tiger caused the crowd to start cheering by pulling his club from his bag just as Sergio was hitting the ball. Tiger says that's nonsense.
You do have a feel when the other guy is going to hit, and whereas I was on top of the backswing, I think he must have pulled like a 5-wood or a 3-wood out of the rough, and obviously everybody started screaming, so that didn't help very much.
The marshals are, they told me he already hit, so I pulled the club and was getting ready to play my shot, and then I hear his comments afterwards, and not real surprising that he's complaining about something.
Bibbs, you heard that. You heard what Garcia said. Tiger wasn't messing with his clubs. You know the crowd going to go crazy when Tiger come around. So, Sergio, you better hurry up and get there and tee it off, because they're going to go crazy just because Tiger Woods coming around. And like Tiger said, they told him that he had already teed off. They had already teed off. B, so I'm going to tell you, we got a minute left, B. We got a minute left to close this thing out with Tiger Woods. I'm going to tell you what I really think it's about, though, B. There's an underlining thing going on here that ain't being told. You know what that may be? Something that begins with a W-O-M-E-N. Sometimes that makes men fight. I don't know if it is in this case or if it isn't. But I'm going to tell you, it always, sometimes it can begin to be an underlining thing in feuds on the golf course. How? Golf? Fighting? Folks, let me tell you something. Here on the Tony Sands Show, we talked about a lot of fighting going on between teens and Easter holidays, Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods. I'm telling you, as Rodney King said back in the day, before we end the Tony Sands Show, can't we all just get along? That's it, B. We're signing off here. As Tony Sands and my main man, Mr. B, we're signing off here for another week. Stay tuned as the Tony Sands Show bring you the hottest topics in the sports world. But until then, you stay tuned. Keep your ears open. Keep your heels to the ground. You go to info@getsensational to get the latest on sports here on the Tony Sands Show.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.